Hi there, this is Alana. You're listening to the Praying Christian Women podcast. We want to welcome you to today's show and invite you to see our brand new website. We are at prayingchristianwomen.com, but everything is new and we have some great new resources there, like our Praying in the New Year online prayer retreat. You can get a discount off of that if you use code 2024, and it's a great resource to help prepare you for the new year as we wrap up 2023 and welcome in all the blessings that God has in store for us for 2024. So thanks again for listening, and to get this resource, you go to our new website at prayingchristianwomen.com, click the shop button, and find the Praying in the New Year. And just as an announcement, as we are transitioning, some links that we have referenced in older episodes might be down for a bit. So we just wanted you to know that, but we are excited about our new site and would love to have you check it out. And we also hope you enjoy today's episode. Hello and welcome to the Praying Christian Woman podcast. I'm Alana, here with Jamie, and we want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So we have some fun stuff for today, and then we have actually some meaty stuff for today. So we're going to be talking about Christmas carols. Some of it's going to just be chit-chat about, you know, what's your favorite Christmas song, and some of it's actually going to be what lessons, right and wrong, do we glean from the Christmas songs that we all kind of know. So I'm really excited about this topic. I think it's going to be fun. It's really not similar to anything we've done before.
No. And it was all you. I'm going to give you full credit for this idea because it's so cool. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thought about it before, and yeah, it'll be great to discuss it. But before we start, we've got a verse of the day and we'll open up in prayer. Our verse of the day is from Luke 2, verses 8 through 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." I love this just picture of, like, a lot of times when angels appear, the reaction that comes from people necessitates the "do not be afraid." We think of angels, you know, in a lot of the depictions of them as being these kind of cool looking, you know, a little bit bright, but mostly looking like a person. But I don't know. I mean, I think there must be something terrifying about the sight of an angel, not to mention the fact that you just see something appear out of nowhere. I mean, I think even today in modern times, like, maybe something like that would be a little bit more like, okay, this is weird because of science fiction. But back then it had to have been terrifying to see anything remotely supernatural. So, but what I love about the message is, there's so much about God we don't understand. There's so much about life and about the unfolding of our circumstances that, you know, as we reflect at Christmas and New Year's on the year before, I mean, I know there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. And I just think we can totally take heart of, don't be afraid. And, you know, you don't know what this is, but I do. And it's okay. Even if it's foreign, even if it's scary, like, we don't need to fear.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be a Praying Christian Woman podcast episode talking about music if I didn't bring up a musical. So we saw a new musical last weekend. Are you familiar with the show Come From Away?
Yes.
Okay. So the story is all the planes coming across the Atlantic on 9/11 had, when the U.S. closed their airspace, they had to land in Newfoundland, in this like itty bitty town that had this huge airport. And so there's a musical about the experience of the people on the planes, the people in the town, because it was like, it was a town of 9,000 people who had to, at a moment's notice, take in like 7,000 people. And let's see, I know I started talking about this for a reason, so let me go back to what we were talking about.
Musical.
I know. Oh, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So there's a really sweet scene because a lot of people on the planes did not speak English, and so they couldn't communicate with the people. The people who were on the planes like spent a couple hours like just sitting on these runways grounded, not knowing why. And so especially if you didn't speak English, like once you got off the planes, you still didn't really know what was going on. And so there was a funny scene. The town decided to be really, really, really hospitable because they wanted these people to feel welcome. And so I guess there was a pretty big Salvation Army like church or community, and they even had the like the garbs, like you know. And so they're like, we decided to be festive. We wanted to greet them, so we dusted off the Salvation Army uniforms. And then you hear the thoughts of one of the soldiers from Africa, and his only thought is there are soldiers everywhere, and he's
Oh.
freaking out because
Oh
he thinks that like
no.
he
He
thinks
thinks
that
it's
these are
like a military
military
thing.
personnel. And
Oh.
so the bus driver realizes that they're very scared, but he has no way to communicate with him. But his wife is holding a Bible in her language, but he says to himself, the passage numbers are going to be the same. And so he looks up one of the verses in the Bible that says, don't be afraid. Or I think he did the one, you know, be anxious about nothing.
Oh
And he
my
shows it to
gosh.
them. And so I loved that story. And yeah, somehow, of course, me being me, I had to work in a Broadway musical into our episode. So that was the one.
So I had heard of it, but I didn't know that was the story. I didn't know the storyline. I had heard of it, but I knew it was about, I knew it was about welcoming people from other places, but I did not know that that was the story. That's I want to see that for sure.
Yeah, it was hard to watch. Like as I was sitting there in the theater, I was not happy to be there about 20% of the time. I was like, nope, too much. But they do a very good job. And once you know how sometimes there's a movie or a show where it's like it's so intense you don't enjoy it the first time, but then you can go back and be like, okay, I actually, that's how it's sort of been for me.
Right, kind of as you reflect and mull it over, you're still gleaning from it, but being there was uncomfortable at the time.
Plus, you know, sometimes I almost never like spoilers, but in certain cases, like if Scott and I are watching an action movie and there's a child, I'm like, you need to Google, is everything okay with the kid? And so he'll Google it for me, like, yeah, everything's okay with the kid. You know, it was kind of like that.
Oh my goodness.
So back to Christmas though. Yeah, so that's what the do not be afraid remind me, because it's there in scripture so many times. And I love that that was the angel's first response too. It was like, it's okay, chill out.
That's
So,
amazing.
since, go ahead, were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say I can open us up in prayer before we, discuss more, but
Yes.
did you have something else?
No, I was going to jump right into just for fun. So let's pray first.
Okay. God, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for Christmas. Just as often as we lose focus during Christmas, I just pray that this time right now would be just that being still and knowing you are God, that moment where we can just focus on you and just be so grateful, eternally grateful for the gift of your son Jesus, that we could sit at your feet, that we could talk about fun things and talk about Christmas carols and apply them to our prayer lives, but at the same time, just being mindful of why we celebrate Christmas, being mindful of the fact that Christ on earth was the reason that we even have the ability to pray, that we have the Holy Spirit in us interceding for us. Because when he came to earth, when he died, when he left, he left us with the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you. And we just pray that you would be glorified in this time and that you would just guide and direct our conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All righty. So we do have some just for funs. We have enough just for funs. Maybe we'll sprinkle them through the conversation, Jamie. But to
Okay.
start out, what's your favorite Christmas song? Because I don't know your answer.
The Little Drummer Boy.
Is it cute? Do you have a specific version or recording you like the most?
Just at the more classic, the better. So, when I think of Christmas and it, like My fond memories of childhood Christmas. My mom and dad always hosted our extended family, and we had a pretty big extended family. So we had tons of family and friends coming over Christmas Eve. So I just have these pictures in my mind of kind of dimly lit with Christmas lights, like 70s, early 80s
Oh,
era Christmas
yep.
decorations,
So there was
like,
probably brown carpet, brown wallpaper, brown
yes,
afghans. That's what I'm picturing.
wood paneling. You are so right. It's like you were there. Mushroom carpet, with the brown wood paneling and the big old Christmas lights on the tree, and we had a real tree, so I can smell the tree. I can feel like the prickle of the pine needles on my bare feet. And we have this nativity that was made. It was like a ceramic nativity that was made by a family member, and given to my mom and dad. And it's like it's not precious moments, but it's like little kids. It's basically little kids in a Christmas pageant, and it's ceramic, and it has each of the kids. And
Cute.
I still have it, actually, and I put it out. But anyway, I have all these pictures of Christmas, but the sounds are like the record player, the scratchy record player of like Nat King Cole and like Elvis Christmas and all of the old stuff. But the little drummer boy, I don't know what rendition it is, but that's one of that song. There was just something about it. And I remember as a child being just moved by this idea that a child could approach Jesus and have something to offer. And I wanted to be that kid. I wanted to be that person, like offering up something to Jesus. It really resonated with me. And so for many, many reasons, I love that song.
That's adorable. That's so sweet. Yeah, I'm picturing now our families. We always, when it was just my dad, my brother, and me, we would always drive to my grandma and grandpa's in San Jose, spend Christmas night at their house. They had like a living room, but then they had like a formal dining room, and Christmas was the only day we were allowed in there. Like, there's one day a year. There is one room in the house. It was completely off limits. Every other day, but we would go. They had a piano in there, so my aunt would play carols and we'd
Oh,
sing.
that's
And
so neat.
yeah, there is something beautiful about coming together, singing songs that everybody knows. Whether you are from a liturgical background or not, I think there's something very beautiful about the fact that, like, yes, these are songs we all grew up with. These are songs we all know. These are songs that, probably 200 years from now, if humanity persists, some of our descendants will still be singing and stuff. I think there's something beautiful about that.
Me too.
All right. So for our first, well, that was our first just for fun, but let's do a quick game of misheard Christmas lyrics, and then we'll get into some of our discussion. Do you have any stories of misheard Christmas lyrics?
Yeah, and I wish I could think of more because I know there are. I mean, I think of the Pledge of Allegiance and "For the which it stands" is what I thought it said at
Really?
one point. Yeah.
Oh, funny.
But "Sleep in heavenly peas." I thought it was instead of peace. I was picturing like a ball pit of peas, like that
That's
you're
so
just
funny.
sleeping in heavenly peas. Like, I don't know.
And was there anything in your mind that was like, why would I want to sleep in peace? Or did you just accept it as, of course?
I don't remember questioning it at all. I just remember this like sleep in heavenly peas. But I don't think I really logically took it apart. And probably by the time I did, I knew what it really meant. But yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what I like about what we're doing is that some of these songs, just like certain Bible verses, become so commonplace that we could
Yes.
recite them with like 2% of our mental energy and
Right.
not think about them at all. And so I think this is a great chance to slow down. So even if you're listening to this as a replay and it's nowhere near Christmas time, hopefully this will be a nice reminder for, like certain Bible stories. Like, how many times have I heard the story of the prodigal son? But asking God to help you read it with new fresh eyes. So my misheard lyric is,
from Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. I was an adult when I realized I was singing it wrong. I always thought it was horses singing Let's Be Jolly. And so I was picturing just some horses like singing Let's Be Jolly. And okay, why not?
So what's the real lyric? I'm trying to picture what
Voices
part of
singing Let's Be
oh, voices
Jolly.
singing let
Deck the
oh,
halls with
voices
boughs of, yep.
singing Let's Be Jolly. Okay.
I just always pictured, yep, here's some horses and now they're singing because it's Christmas. Why wouldn't horses sing?
Mr. Ed was invited to the party.
That's right. That's right.
That's crazy. Well, and also this one, so I had written down a few from online that I found, and I do think that I sang Four Collie Birds. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me four collie birds instead of four calling birds.
Like a
I just,
collie dog? Is that like what
yeah.
you had?
Well,
Or
this one spells it Colly, but I don't know if I would have thought of the dog, but I think I could see that that could have been something that I sang too. Four calling birds. Yeah, I don't know. This one
That's
says
funny.
deck the halls with bras of holly. I don't know who would have thought that. Bras of holly? Come on. That's a little risque. I don't know.
I like this one. I can hear this one in my head from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, where it says all of the other reindeer. People mishear it too. Olive the other reindeer. You know, like there's
Right.
another reindeer named Olive. I'm like, okay, that
Like that
works.
one reindeer used to laugh and call him names. So did you ever sing the version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with the echoes? So like Rudolph the
Like
Red-Nosed
Monopoly.
Reindeer, reindeer. Yeah, I remember it. That's pretty funny.
All righty. Well, let's I've got one more Christmas Carol song that we'll sprinkle in a little later, but let's start with the serious topic of the day. And this will probably be lighthearted. Well, I don't know, knowing us, it could go either way. But let's talk about some of the Christmas carols that we're the most familiar with. How can they spur us on to pray? What do they teach us about prayer? Are there any that have wrong messages about prayer? Before that, do you have any Christmas songs you very much dislike?
That's a good question. Oh, I just told Matt one. I just told my husband one that I heard come on, and I think it's a Paul McCartney one. Oh, it's like really modern sounding. Oh my goodness. I wish I could think of it, but it comes on at Christmas time all the time, and I can't stand it. It's not like a Christmas carol. It's just a song that comes on, and I'm just like, oh, I don't know. It's
This is
one of the
my
former Beatles, yeah.
okay. This is my first year being willing to admit to myself and now to the public, I really don't like I'll Be Home for Christmas. I think it's no, not that one. What's the one I'm thinking of? It's the other World War II one. The Wizard of Oz, Judy Garland saying it. Everybody is shouting the lyrics at me. It's talking about like this next year, all our troubles will be far away. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. I just think it is really, really sad and depressing. And I don't appreciate it. So that's my Grinch opinion of the year.
So I looked mine up. It's Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney and Wings. Yeah, if you hear it, it's like, yeah.
What's the chorus? Like, what's some of the lyrics?
Let me see. Sorry, I have to look it up. The mood is
Oh,
right,
okay.
spirits up, we're here tonight.
Oh, the mood is right.
The mood is
I know what
right.
you're talking about now.
Simply having a
A
wonderful
wonderful
Christmas
Christmas
time.
vibe.
And it's like,
Okay.
yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's the tone of it. It's nothing. I didn't even know what the words were until I just looked it up. But I don't know. It's just, yeah,
Something.
I don't love it. I don't love it. It's too like electronic and
Okay.
little. Whenever I hear it coming on, I'm just like, ew.
That's hilarious. All righty. Well, where do you want to start in our actual theology discussion about Christmas songs?
I want to start negative and end positive. I always love the bad news first. So let's start negative. Let's just find a few things that maybe, you know, a few hymns or Christmas songs that like that maybe are misleading or could be taken the wrong way regarding prayer or other things.
Yeah. So one of the questions, and I don't know if I don't think I'm coming across and saying this is bad, but I want to discuss, is this bad? And that's Away in a Manger. I know some people have problems with it because it talks about, you know, baby Jesus didn't cry, but we have no biblical reason to assume that he wouldn't have cried. But where I want to ask you is the last verse, and it says, take us to heaven to live with you there. So I'm trying to think of what comes before that, the lyrics, but it reminds me some of the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep little poem. And it's like, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Like, is that cute and sweet? Is that superstitious? Or is that just horrible to be teaching kids to pray that?
No, I get it. Because I mean, take us to heaven to live with you there. Like, I mean, I know the idea behind it is pure and thinking forward to heaven, but I do. And, you know, I have problems sometimes talking to my own kids when they were little, especially, with some of the things that they would say. I would be very careful because they would say things about, well, if heaven's better, why don't we just skip over all this, you know?
Right.
And that can be scary for a parent. That can
that
be,
would be scary to
a
hear.
Damaging mindset if it's not coming from the right place.
Yeah.
So, you know, and as I was reading about some of these carols, it came up several times that some people, whether they criticize that take us to heaven to live with you there as like a damaging or maybe misfocused message for kids or for anyone really,
Right.
that the overall thing is that it's focusing more on heaven and less on the here and now. I don't know. But
which in a way
again,
we're supposed to do
heavenly
though,
minded.
right?
Yeah, exactly. I could see it
So,
either way, but it does kind of rub me a little bit the wrong way as well. I do. I can
yeah.
totally see. I totally get your.
If nothing else, it's just a little strange. And
yeah.
And maybe that's more of a reflection really on society than on the theology, because as contemporary parents, it is weird to think about your kid talking about death. And, you know, I take myself back. Let's go back 200, 300 years where, you know, not every child was presumably going to live to adulthood. I mean, and even today, there's not a guarantee, but it was even more regular for parents to lose a child, you know, several hundred years ago. Maybe there is comfort in teaching your kids to pray that kind of thing. And now we're just like, ew, that's weird. So I don't know if it's a cultural, oh, this is strange, or a theological, oh, this is strange. It might be some of both.
Well, and if I don't know when this particular Christmas carol emerged, but we live in a really prosperous society that focuses a lot on the here and now. I mean, there have been times in history where everything was so bad that they needed to look forward to something good. Do you know what I mean?
I
Like
do.
people dropping like flies from the plague or wars or, you know, things that are right in your backyard that maybe that was a comfort. Whereas now
It
it's
could
like,
be. Now
I'm
it's more
happy to be here
disturbing
for
to
once.
think about. Yeah.
And maybe that's a commentary on us, you
I
know,
think
maybe
it might
it's a
be
commentary
more.
in many ways on us and our perspective that it kind of makes us
Yeah.
stop.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. All right, what have you got?
Well, I did have the no crying. Jesus was a human baby. And I think that that's kind of this like, oh, and as a woman who has experienced childbirth, I don't care who you are. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be painful and it's going to be loud. It's not going to be a silent night. I mean, the night was probably very silent in many ways, but, you know, the reality of it all was, you know, definitely different. But it's art. It's a song. It's supposed to portray this
Right.
picture of the birth, you know, the advent of our Lord Jesus. And I'm okay with that. But it does, when I
Yeah.
hear no crying he makes, it never occurred to me that that was anything other than accurate. And I even remember as a kid assuming this idea that Jesus was very different from everybody else, even as a baby. And it could be, who knows? I mean, but obviously that's based on speculation and nothing in the Bible. But I don't know. I do. There are places in the Bible that highlight Jesus' deity and other places that highlight his humanity. And I think songs could be the same way, where this one is highlighting his deity and in an artistic way, not necessarily saying that historically he didn't cry. So
And I don't think that in a lot of cases we need to get super grinchy about it. I think at the very least it could turn into, this is not a song I prefer. Oh, well. Okay, so let me tell you another question
I
had.
I love the song.
Do you?
I do.
Okay, here is my question. I believe that we can kind of classify Christmas songs in three categories. So you have just the secular Christmas songs. That would be, you know, the
Santa
Frosty
Baby.
The Snowman, Santa Baby.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah. All right. Or, you know, just songs about Christmas, that Beatles one you were talking about. Then you have like Christmas carols. And then you have, there's this in between where they are songs about that have to do with the birth of Jesus. But I feel like there is a gray area where there are certain songs about the nativity that I wonder, is this a nice song or is this a song for congregational worship? So as an example, like, Do You Hear What I Hear? It's a traditional song. It's got a cute beat. There's not really, it's about the birth of Jesus, but there's not much biblical about it. You know, like it's talking about, you know, and the shepherd boy goes and tells the king. And if we're going to be biblically accurate, that king would have been Herod. And then his next step would have been going and killing all the babies in Bethlehem, you know? So, okay. So here's my question. The song Mary Did You Know, I think is very compelling. I think it's pretty. I think it does a very good job thinking about the state of mind that Mary would have been in. The same thing with the song Breath of Heaven. However, I do have a question, and that is like, are these appropriate corporate worship songs, or are these more like, I like hearing this on the radio, or I like it when, you know, someone sings this as a solo in church? Because part of me, so like, let's take Mary Did You Know. Most, I mean, there, I don't think there's a single Protestant Christian who would say that it would be appropriate to sing a song to Mary in a church setting, right? And so there's a little bit in me. What's your opinion specifically on that one?
I liked hearing that, you know, in when I went to a church where they did solos. We don't really, well, they have some now, I guess, but they're more contemporary usually. But I used to love growing up, you know, like Mary Did You Know, I think was sung. There's another one too. Oh, like Ave Maria. But anyway, but like, yeah, Mary Did You Know, I like hearing that, but no, I wouldn't picture that as being sung corporately, like as a, I don't know, it's more of a perspective song.
Right. So I almost think of it as the difference between, Mary Did You Know reminds me of kind of like biblical fiction in that it can be really powerful. It can help you think through things. But in my opinion, it is a tiny bit extra biblical. And so, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I would be totally fine with it as a solo in church, but it doesn't feel quite like, let's all stand up now and sing Mary, Did You Know? But then again, the question comes like, well, how dogmatic should we be? Is this just personal preference? Do you have strong feelings, or would you call that more of a personal preference thing?
I don't know. I kind of feel like when we're singing songs corporately, that it should be worship to God as opposed to, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my, but you know, freedom in Christ.
True, true. I mean, is God gonna like turn his back on your worship service and refuse to listen to you
Yeah.
because you picked a song that talks about him in the third person, not the first person, or
Right, right, right.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
But
okay.
then there are ones like there's one in particular that I feel is somewhat I won't call it heretical, but
Okay.
Here Comes Santa Claus,
Yeah.
where every time I hear it playing in a department store, there's a line that says, "Let's give thanks to the Lord above because
Right, because
Santa
Santa
Claus
Claus
comes
has come tonight.
tonight." And it's like,
Let
okay,
me
let's
pause
just.
for just a second. Hold on, hold on.
Yep.
Mamas who are concerned because little listening ears, go ahead and skip a minute. Go ahead. Now you can keep on going.
So yeah, it's kind of a, like let's just throw in like a little bone of, let's throw them a bone, the religious ones, so that,
Right.
but why do we have to cross that out? Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could look at it the other way, 'cause you could just be critical of and nitpick everything. I guess what I could do is say, okay, here's a song about Santa Claus, and they're bringing the focus back to, hey, every good gift is from God. So let's give thanks because this is a fun tradition that we're observing. So
Yeah,
I don't know.
no, I get it. My
Obviously that,
dad
yeah.
was really anti-Santa. So we never grew up with that kind of stuff. And in his mind, again, I bring a lot of it back to whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. In his mind, that is how he preserved the kind of the holiness of Christmas. I think there's also a place for, and you know, and even with our own kids, we leaned more toward that. However, I think there's room for parents to, yeah, freedom in Christ is kind of what you were saying. And if you have a way to bring God into it, so like if you're a family who is going to, you know, put up Santa decorations and things like that, isn't it better to have God be part of that, right? So
Right.
it's interesting. We have an ornament on our tree that is an ornament of Santa Claus kneeling at the manger. And I really like it. To me, it's very special. It reminds me that Jesus is the reason for the season, even though that's so cliche. But there are also a lot of cultural things about the Christmas season that are not 100% religious that are still, in my opinion, like fun, positive things, like all the Christmas movies we're watching this time of year with the family and stuff. So yeah, it's to me, it's just an interesting one. Although I did hear I had a homeschooling mom friend who hated the one about mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again in the it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. She's like, why do we want to make it so that like why do we want to teach our kids that we don't want them in the house anymore? And so again,
Right, exactly.
I think some of it's totally personal preference, but
It
let me
is.
dive into it just for fun. I do not love the song Christmas Shoes at all, but
How does that one go?
that's the one where there's a little boy and he's at the store and he wants to buy shoes for his mom because basically she's on her deathbed and he wants her to look pretty. Like, you don't know the song I'm talking about? It's
It
like,
rings a bell now that you
sir, I
mention
want to buy
it.
these shoes for my
Oh
mama,
my
please.
goodness.
Okay, so
Oh.
my question for you is, when you picture that song, what kind of shoes do you picture him buying? Because here's my beef with that song. First of all, like it's way too sad. Like I don't like songs that make you feel sad just for the sake of making you feel sad.
Right, I
But
agree.
also, I'm like, why in the world would Jesus? The end of the chorus is, I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight. And part of me is like, who in the world like would believe that Jesus would care what kind of shoes your mom is wearing. However, I recognize I'm a Grinch. Scott's like, there's nothing wrong with the song. I think it's kind of sweet. But when you think about the song, what kind of shoes is he buying for his mom so that she can meet Jesus in pretty shoes?
Well, I'm picturing, maybe it's a family that like doesn't have any decent shoes, like maybe there's like just sensible, like nice shoes without holes in them.
Hey.
That's I'm not picturing like, what is it, Jimmy Choo or whatever the
I
like
wouldn't
I
know,
don't
but
know,
I
the
picture the
fancy
like
dancy. I'm picturing just sensible, like nice looking mom shoes that have no holes in them.
I like that.
That's
so
what I'm
it's
picturing.
So funny because I heard someone else on a different podcast ask that, and I realized like everybody has a different answer. In my mind, the shoes have always been the ruby red slippers from Wizard of Oz. Like, of course they're
Of
bright
course that's
red
what they would be.
Sparkly shoes.
There's
And then
no
I'm
place like home.
Right.
Heaven.
Okay. Well, let's see. Do you have any more Christmas carols or songs you want to talk about from the maybe slightly more negative, is this problematic side?
I mean, the only one, like We Three Kings, and you know, just We Three Kings, we don't know that there were three. It never says in the Bible. There's tradition that says there's four, there's tradition that says there were three. So, you know, kind of like that. Kind of, I have a personal thing because I, when I learned that the Bible never said there were three, I felt betrayed by the carol. You know, like I really think that we, you know, I love the idea of Christmas carols, hymns being true to scripture. And just for the sake of, if you're going to be learning, I mean, this is how many people have learned history over the millennia, you know, is through songs. And so, I don't know. I just didn't like that there was a seed planted that wasn't necessarily accurate. I felt a little betrayed by that. But again, it's art. It's not, it's an artistic expression. Read your Bible if you want to know the truth. So I don't know. There's two different
There
schools.
are two different ways. Like some people really dislike showing the wise men in a nativity scene because most readings of scripture would show that that wasn't actually in the manger. Like that was, you know, when he was a little older, like a, you know, kind of a toddler kind of thing. And I see that. I also see the, well, you know, this is all wrapped up in Christmas time. This is the time of year when we celebrate Christmas. So does it really matter? And again, I think we go back to freedom in Christ. I think we go back to personal preference and we go back to whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. So if you're putting up a nativity and you're deliberately leaving out the wise men because you believe in biblical accuracy, do it for the glory of God. Do it with some humility in your heart and grace towards people who have a different view. If you are putting them up there, do it for the glory of God. Do it because that's also part of the Christmas story, and this is the time of year and we celebrate Christmas. But I have a little bit of an issue with We Three Kings, or maybe more of a question, because the chorus is the star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright. Similar to my question about Mary, it's like, well, are we singing to the star, and is that appropriate for church?
Yeah. No, I could see that. I could see that question. Because it's like, so when I was looking for preschools for our middle child, I found this wonderful preschool that was virtually across the street from us, just across the road. Wonderful teachers, great curriculum. He was very active. When he got there, they like lit a candle and just sat there and for the kids to come together. And he was mesmerized. And this teacher had a calming effect on him. But there was in the handbook, after I had already made the deposit for the preschool, I was sold. And I read the handbook and they did prayers, but they were not Christian prayers. They were like meditations, but it was like, thank you, sun, for da 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 da. Thank you, trees, and like thank. And it was more of like, I don't know. It was a nuance thing. And to be quite honest, the preschool that we ended up sending him to was allegedly Christian, but was not that great. And we joke about it all the time how like lame it was, honestly.
But you ended up pulling him out of that one, out of the.
Out of the original one,
one,
I sat there and I prayed about it. I was like, is this just nuance or is this something I need to be concerned with? And I felt the Lord just being like, you need to, this is important. And
yeah, sometimes there are lines.
And I look back. So anyway, going back to the star of wonder, star of night, it's the same sort of thing of like addressing the star, lauding the star itself. And, you know, it could be taken as like, you know, praising God's creation instead of the creator. So I could see that just being getting a little like catch in your spirit when you sing that. I don't know. I could see that.
Yeah, just to present the other side, I was on a field trip with the kids. We went to the Anchorage Native Alaskan Museum, and it was going to be this, like, they had little stations. And so, like, one of them were making crafts, we're doing beads, and one of them was, we're going to like learn one of their traditional songs or something. And the kids were quite young, and the person presenting it, like, this was a Christian homeschool co-op, and so I think he even had in mind, like, let's address this a little bit. And he had a very gentle way of addressing it. He's like, yes, in our tradition we have songs that we sing to, like, to the animals, and it's kind of like how, maybe you grew up singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Like, it taught you how to, like, it taught you the names of the animals and things like that. So, but I do feel like, yeah, Christian parents, especially when your kids are that young and impressionable, there are certain lines that you are not going to want to cross. And I think those are going to depend, on, they're going to be situational, right? Like, so I don't think that many Christian parents would think that singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star is going to make their kid grow up to be a heathen, sun worshiper. But where do you draw that line, right? And so, yeah, if anything else, maybe the entire takeaway here, the takeaway is definitely not like look down your nose at anybody who sings a song that's on your unapproved list. But maybe the takeaway is just be discerning about the lyrics, because especially with these Christmas songs, we hear them every single year. And so maybe we haven't sat down and actually thought, is this a song that brings glory to the Lord?
Yeah, I had to look up most of the lyrics just because I thought, oh, I don't really remember what the words are to this song. And there are also verses that aren't well known that kind of, if you dig deeper, say different things. So it's kind of interesting. But I love what you said about, I think we have a cancel culture. I think, I know that our world today is just steeped in cancel culture. So, and Christians, I think sometimes there is a fine line between striving for truth and recognizing truth and looking for things to get bent out of shape about. I don't want to be known as the person, like, we're supposed to be known for our love, for our joy. I don't want to be known for my critical nature, my critical spirit. So make sure that as you balance truth with love and joy in all things, and grace, always grace.
The way we always taught our kids is like, our family doesn't do this one thing. We didn't teach it like a Christian should not do this one thing. If it was something that would fall into those like meat market kind of issues, because we didn't want them to get scandalized, like, your parents let you watch that movie isn't for Christians. Instead we would say, we have chosen, our family is not going to watch this movie. Here are the reasons why we chose that, and other families have other rules. All right, well, before we move into the we have a list of kind of Christmas carols that can teach us something positive about prayer. I have a guess the Christmas carol game for both of us. I haven't looked at the answers either. So these are kind of riddles. So I'm going to read the clue, and then we need to come up with what song are they talking about. Okay, Sir Lancelot with laryngitis. He's a
The first
knight.
thing that comes to mind is Good King Wenceslas, but
I love that one. No, I know this one. He's a
tell me.
knight and he cannot speak.
Oh, Silent Night.
He's a silent knight. All right.
I get
Two.
it.
Oh, okay. I know this one. 288 Yuletide hours.
The 12 Days of Christmas.
Yep. I would think if you did the math, that's what it would come to. Frozen precipitation commence. They want the
Something about
frozen.
the snow beginning.
They want it to snow.
So,
Let it snow.
oh, let it snow.
All right, far back in a hay bin.
Away in a manger.
Okay, let's see one or two more. Our fervent hope is that you thoroughly enjoy your Yuletide season.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
And may the deity bestow an absence of fatigue to mild-mannered males.
I'm gonna let you. I've got it, but I'm gonna
Oh,
let you.
is it God rest ye merry
I
gentlemen?
think so. I think so.
Alrighty, those are fun. All right, well let's shift gears. What are some of the Christmas songs that you feel do a great job inspiring our prayer lives or teaching us something about prayer?
Let's see. I mean, I'm going to go with my favorite here, the Little Drummer Boy. And I feel like the Little Drummer Boy, so, one of the verses is, "Little baby, I'm a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king. Shall I play for you?" And this, I just love that it gives us this idea of worshiping through music and through the gifts, even if it's not music, just the gifts that we're given. And it's a form of worship, and I believe a form of prayer, to offer up your gifts and your talents for the glory of God. And that can be a form of offering up that communion with God. So I
I
love
love
that.
that. Yeah, it reminds me of the story of the kid who gives Jesus the loaves and the fish. And
Yes. Oh, good.
I can picture, if I were writing that scene as biblical fiction, I would have one or two of the disciples being like, "Little kids, stop bothering the Messiah with what's he gonna do with this?"
He's
Right? And that's
trying to sleep. Quit banging your dang drum.
But yeah, that pure-hearted gift of a child that maybe doesn't look like much to anybody but the Lord. And then he takes it and multiplies it and makes it something really amazing. There's a cute scene on YouTube. It's a little kid who comes up and plays on some master pianist grand piano, just like some really silly chopsticks or something. But then he comes and improvises with it and turns it into something just like gorgeous and
Oh, I
amazing.
love that. That's
And
very cool.
I think that's what Jesus does with our gifts. And so instead of being afraid to come to him, we give him the meager offerings we have, and then he can make it something beautiful. But I would also say a takeaway is, if you have a neighbor with a newborn, don't send your kid over to just bang on drums to greet the little baby. That's probably a little bit not
Some poor
the
form. You're probably not gonna. They won't be
Not gonna
open to
win
your
friends.
witness if you try to do it that way.
If you do it that way, you might need to pray for that "take us to heaven" line.
Right.
All right. One of the songs that I love, my favorite Christmas song, is "O Holy Night,"
Oh, that's
and
a
I
great
especially
one.
like the second verse. It says, "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression will cease." And it's the only Christmas song that comes to my mind that also focuses on the fact that Jesus came not just to reconcile us to God, not just to bring us salvation, but he came to bring justice, and he came to stop the oppression that we see. And so I think it's a beautiful reminder of praying for issues of justice, praying for human rights issues.
Yes, that is so good. Another one I like, I do like We Three Kings, which is why I felt so betrayed by it, because it's one of my favorites. But they talk about gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which were biblically the things that were offered to Jesus. And, the gold symbolizing Jesus' kingship, frankincense, which I always kind of took to be, like, they talk about incense going up from the temple, like prayers. And, like, in Revelation, it talks about the incense, that there is incense coming up in heaven, which are the prayers of the faithful. So I think of frankincense as prayers, but it also can represent deity and Jesus, identification or identity as the Son of God and God himself. And then myrrh representing the death and the mourning, because those are the spices that are used to prepare the burial bodies. So I see that as we look at the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, that we can reflect on those different aspects of prayer. So you can have, like, the kingship, honoring him as king, and the frankincense or the incense can be just like our literal prayers themselves, and remembering that our prayers are heard from God, by God in heaven. And then the rubber, you know, you could look at that as just offering yourself, just as Christ died and was resurrected, that we too lay ourselves on the altar and sacrifice our lives as an offering of worship to God. Or in just giving thanks for the death and resurrection of Jesus, and knowing that with the joy of the gift of Jesus is this double-edged sword of knowing that he'll be taken in a very dramatic and tragic way. And then the ultimate glory of resurrection. So,
No, I think that's cool. It kind of reminds me of when we talk about prayer triggers and how, you know, like you could be flipping through a magazine and see a picture and it reminds you to pray for something, you know? So like when you were talking about myrrh, my thought was, yeah, let's pray for people who have lost a loved one this Christmas. Like there are so many springboards for prayer that can come from this. So for people who have like an extra 5 or 10 minutes, I think a really cool prayer exercise, pick a song that you love and go through kind of line by line. And with each line, ask yourself, what's a springboard for prayer? So as an example, like my favorite, "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining." And it's just a springboard. It doesn't have to be like, what did the person who wrote this song intend for me to pray? So the first thing that comes to my mind with "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining" is we just had a pretty bad winter storm and our power's been flickering on and off. So I'm going to pray for our power to stay on. Yeah. I want us to have light. and then that can become a springboard for prayer for anybody who is exposed to the elements this winter. You know, like every time I get onto Anchorage Daily News, I see really sad stories about, you know, the homeless population and how hard it is in a winter environment like this. So that can be a springboard for prayer. And I think that's another fun way to counteract being so overly familiarized with these songs that we stop thinking about the lyrics. So I want to talk about "O Come Let Us Adore Him." Which song am I thinking of? "O Come All Ye Faithful." And the chorus is "O Come Let Us Adore Him." Is there anything weird for you? I think there's a small bit theologically and mentally, I don't have a problem with it, but emotionally it still feels weird to me to picture yourself worshiping baby Jesus.
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I guess because of all of the imagery with the nativity, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I'm kind of used to it. So it doesn't immediately make me feel like, oh, that's interesting. But I could see where it could be.
Yeah. And I don't think that we should feel that way because the shepherds worshiped him. The wise men worshiped him. They were certainly not reprimanded for worshiping baby Jesus. And you know, in songs like "O Come All Ye Faithful," they are calling us not just to worship the risen Christ who is King of Heaven. I think that it is okay to picture yourself with the shepherds, with the wise men, like worshiping the baby, but it still feels weird to me. And so I think maybe that can be, and I don't think it should, because Jesus was the Son of God in the flesh, even as a baby, and therefore he was deserving of worship. And so if you're like me and it still feels weird to you, maybe you can do a little bit of mental stretching to try to get a little more comfortable with that. The fact, no, he truly is God. This little itty bitty baby is worthy of worship.
Yeah.
You have any others?
Yeah. So I'm looking and I know that in different places you can find different verses for these that are not in all of the places. And I don't know how much of it is, you know, fan fiction.
I know, it's kind
for
of
lack of a better term, but I came across one verse which I'm pretty sure this is legit, from "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." And one of the verses says, "O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind, bid thou our sad divisions cease, and be thyself our King of Peace." And that to me is just a beautiful prayer for unity, or springboard, you know, for prayer for unity in the world, and in the church. But I mean, this is nations, you know, kind of praying for world peace, world peace. as I might have misunderstood.
Right.
But yeah. So that I just, I know that in the last couple of years, I have just felt God just reminding me of the importance of unity in the body of Christ and in general. And so I just think that's kind of a beautiful
It is
reminder.
A great prayer for unity. I really like the idea of taking these songs, asking yourself, what can I pray from? So let's do I'm going to call this a just for fun. And I don't think people will hopefully consider this sacrilegious, but let's close with this. I am going to read some of the lyrics from the song Santa Baby, and we are going to decide what springboards for prayer can
That's
we
so good.
bring up, even from, like, I hate the song and I hate it when it gets stuck in my head, but even something that was never meant to be sacred music maybe can help us. Like, so if you just get a really dumb, silly song stuck in your head, ask yourself, okay, what can this lyric remind me to pray for? All right. So, Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. What is a sable?
Sable is like a fur, like mink.
Oh, okay. So your job is, from that line, what are you going to be reminded to pray for?
For God's physical provision of clothing and warmth.
Perfect. All
For
righty.
myself and others.
I love that. And then Santa baby, hurry down the chimney tonight. I'm going to take that to, again, prayers for warmth. We went a week and a half earlier this month
Oh
without
my
a working
goodness.
furnace. And
Oh.
it just reminds you, like, out here, like that, I don't want to sound overdramatic, but it could have turned into a life-threatening thing.
It could have, yeah.
And so we are thankful for heat. And so, yeah, hurry down the chimney tonight is going to remind us of that. All right. Here's one for you. Santa baby, a 54 convertible too. Light blue.
So what that actually reminds me of is an interview that we had with Bianca Olthoff, who was talking about when she was young, her mom, they had no money, and her mom was like this huge prayer warrior. And they prayed for a car, and not just any car. They prayed for a specific kind and color of car that was like an above and beyond prayer. And I know that those don't always get answered, but what that reminds me of is pray specifically and pray, pray specifically for your heart's desires. And of course, leave those open-handed, but they received a car of that type and color. From someone in a pretty miraculous way. So that's kind of, don't be afraid to pray for your heart's desire and pray specifically if you feel led.
Yeah, I like that. All right, I'll give myself one more. Santa baby forgot to mention one little thing, a ring.
A ring.
So I will take that as a reminder to be praying for marriages. So my marriage,
good
our
one,
kids'
good
future
one.
marriages, marriages in general. So yeah. All of these things can become a prayer springboard. All right. Any Christmas songs that you wanted to touch on that we haven't yet?
Okay, there's this one. It's not Christmas. It's a New Year's song. Maybe this is a good one for me to end
Okay.
on.
All righty.
Here we come a wassailing. Have you ever heard of that one?
Yeah.
Here we come a wassailing. I mean, I remember learning it in elementary school in music class. And it's, and among the leaves so green, here we come a wandering, so fairly to be seen. Here we come a wandering, so fairly to be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you a wassail too. God bless you and send you a happy new year. I looked up what wassailing was, and it's like a drunken stupor.
Really? I always thought it was caroling.
I did too.
Because I always heard it, here we come, the caroling. That's
It
hilarious.
is caroling with plentiful amounts of alcohol in a noisy, lively way.
I love that. That's weird.
And it does say, go from house to house at Christmas singing carols. But the
in a
origins
drunken
of
stupor.
it in a drunken stupor.
Okay, nobody get drunk this Christmas Eve or New Year's
Please
Eve.
do not. Please.
But I do, I actually really like Love and Joy Come to You. Here's how I learned it as a kid. Love and Joy Come to You, and to you, Good Christmas too.
Me
And God bless
too.
you and send you a Happy New
Happy
Year. So,
New
how sacrilegious would it be for us to make that our blessing and our benediction for today?
Year. That wouldn't be sacrilegious.
All righty. Love and joy come to you, and to you, good Christmas too. And God bless you and send you a happy new year. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Praying Christian Women podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment to let us know what questions or topics we can address in future shows. Then hop over to prayingchristianwomen.com/journal to download your free prayer guide. We're so glad you joined us for today's show, and we wish you God's deepest blessings as you draw closer to Him and change the world one prayer at a time.